Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello, and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I am once again, for the 200th time, joined by my friends, Philip and Daniel. We're still stranded, guys, and episode 200, I didn't think we'd make it this far. No, I totally thought we'd make it this far, but that's it. All we do is congratulate each other this entire episode, right? That's
good job, that's everyone. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, I'm looking forward to the celebrity appearances,
celebrities?
The musical guests. Wow. Yeah, I think this is 200.
C-string celebrities. I mean, don't worry too much about it, Daniel.
Yeah, plan C for City Alpha 3. So. But happy Life Day, or should I say happy Anti-Life Day for those of you in the Mirror Universe.
Oh, boy.
I mean, that's true. If they were to celebrate anything, it would be – they would love that part of the comics where it's all about the anti-life equation and death, and they're like, this is great. We need more of that. But that's the extent of my comic knowledge, so we'll go with that. But – we're 200 episodes in. Daniel's, like, what, 5 episodes into your rewatch in alphabetical order?
Yeah.
It's great. It's coming along nice. Well, I thought we would do something special for this episode, and nothing is more special than a great holiday special as we're joining you on Earth around circa December 2020. So I looked back to what great holiday specials have they been out there. I mean, Pee-wee's Playhouse comes to mind. I know
great
Inspector
one.
Gadget saved Christmas once or twice at least.
Ernest did too, I believe.
You'd think it was hard to save Christmas, but apparently it's not.
Ernest saved Christmas from trolls, nonetheless, too. But it was a movie, so I don't know if that counts.
I mean, I'm sure Thundercats saved Christmas. I'm sure that happened. I mean,
yeah, but they kept batting the ornaments on their tree, and I just saw
He-Man and She-Ra probably teamed up and saved Christmas. Oh, I know Garfield has saved Christmas.
I do remember there was a He-Man She-Ra Christmas episode. I mean, I went to this is a 5-second tangent along in that. My local geekery, it's closed since, but my local geekery, maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, something like that, hosted a marathon one evening of Christmas specials. So it was
nice.
The Adventures of Pete and Pete. I don't know if you
remember all of these. That's awesome.
But it was Rugrats. It was all these vintage Christmas episodes. It was just a whole evening of. So
Community has some fantastic Christmas specials.
That's right.
And of course, Philip, how can we forget? We can't forget, right? All of the amazing Doctor Who Christmas specials.
Yeah, so.
That's true. It's a Doctor Who,
it's a
thing
tradition.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Well, there's one infamous Christmas special that has gone down in history as one of the worst 2 hours of television, and that is the Star Wars holiday special, circa 1978. Imagine it. Star Wars is nothing hotter. It's everybody's clamoring for more. We haven't gotten another film yet. Empire Strikes Back is in the future. What do we do? Well, gosh. So I'm not advocating watching the holiday special. Please don't, because it is so, so bad. But basically, we go to the planet Kashyyyk, where Chewbacca's family, who don't speak English or are subtitled through the entire episode, celebrate Life Day, a magical day where all Wookiees gather together and sing songs in red robes and glowing spheres. And they somehow still had them under contract enough to get all the main stars, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford together. R2-D2 was there as well as himself. But
hard to get that contract.
You know, the only shining star in this episode was the animated segment that introduced Boba Fett. I mean, that's what anybody ever talks about, but yeah, needless to say, it did it aired once, and Lucas and many other have disowned it and refused to speak of it.
Is it available?
You can find it.
I was just going to ask.
You can find it on dark corners of the internet. I think it is on YouTube somewhere.
But not Disney Plus, huh? They haven't.
It'll never be on Disney Plus. That's the day hell freezes over. Is when it.
They will
up
release
on Disney Plus.
The original Star Wars theatrical release on Blu-ray before the holiday special comes out.
So I thought, okay, let's do a fun thought experiment. We always enjoy those in the Trek universe, and so I picked three eras of Trek to make our own holiday specials and assigned. You know, I love giving homework, guys. You know, Philip makes us watch those TOS episodes we oh so love, and I love making you write like dissertation papers about, you know, made up fantasy things. But I thought, let's talk about, you know, what would a holiday special look like in the similar vein, but if it was Star Trek. And I looked at kind of the classic TOS era in 1986. Daniel's going to look at, you know, the Berman era with TNG, Voyager, DS9, Enterprise, a host of films in 2005. And Philip, the more modern contemporary era. The Kurtzman era of Discovery, Picard, Lower Decks, all the way up through... You know, this could air to this year if they get on it. They can probably make it.
Yeah.
But I will go first to give everybody else time to jot more notes down. But no, this is again a fun thing to pitch ideas, laugh a little bit, and just celebrate the joys of Trexmas. So. Again, I'm thinking, okay, Darren, you're back in 1986. You know what you're pitching.
Daniel isn't born.
I was born in 1986. So. I was a few months old. Yep.
It's okay. I didn't give it to you, Daniel, so you didn't have to think far back. But no. So my pitch is a Klingon Christmas. Yes, Christmas is spelled with a K. It's going to offend a whole bunch of people. But
shouldn't it be spelled with a Q? Like Q. Apostrophe.
Yeah, I mean, that would make it harder to say, so why not? This is going to be released on Paramount Domestic Television, and...
Oh, so it's syndicated.
So I created... So it's going to air once, and that's it. You know, to get your VHS tapes ready to record. So I thought, okay, it's 1986, Star Trek IV has come out. What do we have? Okay, well, we have a lot of Klingon sets. Because we have, you know, we have a whole bunch of the Bird of Prey that we used in that movie. And because that's the thing, is you got to just take what you got. You pull as many side actors as you can. And, oh, we're going to go there. So in my plot, Captain Krug from Star Trek III, he's still alive for some reason. Because we want to get... Christopher Lloyd.
Wow.
We're getting Christopher Lloyd. Yeah, he's right at the
gettable.
Show.
He's gettable in 86, right?
Yeah. Totally. You know, Back to the Future is a thing, and maybe he's a megastar now, but we got him under contract. So he's still searching for the... We're basically ignoring the events of Star Trek III. You know, this, but nobody cares about when it is. Star Trek fans aren't into that. They don't care when this is set.
Oh, you're such a Paramount executive right now.
So, Captain Krug is searching for the Genesis device, and so he's mad. He's yelling at all of his crew, and Koloff, his second in command, is setting about decorating the cargo bay to celebrate the Kobaval Festival, which is the Klingon festival that honors the defeat of the tyrant Molar by Kalis the Unforgettable in single combat, which we actually learned about in TNG with Worf. And
what I'm enjoying far is that the executives have released Star Trek IV, arguably, maybe you can argue too, the most popular Star Trek movie to ever come out to this date. And they're like, you know what we should look to? Star Trek III.
yep. Because you know what we have? Klingon sets. What do we need on them? Klingons. Yeah. No, exactly. Why would you? Star Trek IV takes place on Earth. Earth is boring, Philip. Yeah. We need more Star Trek.
We're gonna have
in
whales
our Star
in
Trek
this
special. Maybe, you know. So while he's busy decorating, and you know, it's going to be heavily Christmassy holiday decorated for no apparent reason, but you know, lots
it's
of
like
reds and
ornaments
greens
on a tree.
Real quick, this is a point of clarification for me. Is the goal to create a terrible holiday special, or is the goal to create a good, entertaining holiday special? Are we trying to follow in the footsteps of the Star Wars holiday special, or...
I mean, you could go in whatever direction you want. I wanted to go more more terrible, but like they're trying, but they're missing, missing the mark, which is, I think,
I like
a lot
that
more
there's
fun.
Also an executive at this meeting who's like, you know, our other Star's property had a holiday special where we took one of the aliens, right, and we introduced them as a Christmas holiday. Kids love the aliens, so they're like a Wookiee.
You know what?
What's our Wookiee? Klingons. Let's
do that. Man, I just thought of a way to make it even better. The Klingons could only speak in Klingon and with no subtitles. That makes it even better. We have no idea what they're saying all.
This is Star Trek. They're going to be subtitles, but they're in Klingon.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it's even better. That. Oh, man.
So it's just like orange pixelated symbols when they talk.
So there's just lots of gesturing at the ornaments and decorations. And like, you have no... Like, someone's mad about something, but we don't know what it is.
Do they have, like, a targ on the top of the tree, or...?
Yeah, there's targs everywhere. So, so while... Koloth is busy decorating. He's like, guys, you got to keep Krug out of here while I finish setting up. He can't see it while I'm still decorating. So they are busy distracting him on the bridge. We got two sets, guys. We got the bridge and the cargo bay. That's it. Maybe the corridor in between. This is like they literally looked at what do we have from Star Trek IV. That's what we're using. So instead, they're still searching for the Genesis device, and they're distracting him on the main viewer with, recovered transmissions and research into human culture and other things. So these are the intercut, segment bits. Mm-hmm. We'll of course watch the animated episode from the animated series "More Trouble, More Tribbles," which feature the Klingons as they get, a million pink tribbles beamed onto their ship. I don't know why Klingons would be watching that.
I like it. They've captured a Earth, Federation, a probe of some sort.
There you go.
And that's getting them all these subspace historical records. Like it's an old Earth probe or something.
Or
like
you could have the a shot of the probe from Star Trek IV, but just make it look like it's a VW Bug, like it's really small, and they're just intercepting it. So they're just reusing footage. That's how
Nomad.
We got to do it, guys.
They have the old Nomad probe or prop.
And one of the transmissions is we're going to have a musical guest, Genesis, the rock band, because he's going to go nuts for that. Super popular in 1986. We got Phil Collins and Tony Banks, and he's going to be excited because he's just going to start yelling Genesis over and over because that's the only human word we're going to get out of this whole thing. Okay, no, and that's not the whole plot, guys. We got a side plot because we can't – it's Star Trek. We can't just have the Klingons. We have to have our favorite characters. So meanwhile, on the Enterprise – now this is the Enterprise A, which is getting ready for its launch.
Oh, spoilers. Yes.
So – well, no, it was that was at the end of Star Trek 4, but if you didn't watch the movie, spoilers, I guess. So, meanwhile, I thought, okay, Enterprise A, great. But what, third-tier character could we put on this? Oh, no, lower. Got to aim low, aim lower. So, Captain Stiles and basically the captain of the Excelsior and his first officer, Miguel, who was played by Miguel Ferrer. So they're worried, they're running around worried that the Enterprise A won't be fit to take over its flagship duties in the wake of the Excelsior's return to dry dock and refit, because that experiment failed. So they're out of a job, and now they're upset that the Enterprise is going to be, the flagship once more. So they're kind of like being super sticklers about, is the ship ready? So just
at
lots of walking ground corridors.
Because this is Christmas, Well, at any point, there'll be lights that are flashing red and green. And when Captain Stiles asks, how can you have a red and green alert in space dock?
I think he'll have to. He'll have to question. Everything is a question about what you can have in space dock.
And
so,
he had like a holly over his kangs. I remember he had a little stick or something, didn't he?
He had like a riding crop for some reason. I don't know. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. He's a captain. He's an eccentric captain. So I thought, okay, well, again, we can't pull out the big guns yet. So we're going to heavily feature James Doohan running around the ship just ahead of them, getting things ready just in time for them to come into that room. Because you know what people want? More James Doohan. You think it's Spock and Kirk and... No. So he's trying to keep things ready. And then the very end is Spock and Kirk show up to join him. They persuade Stiles and Frere to approve the ship in time for the joint Christmas/launch party that afternoon.
A Christmas christening? You know, little on the nose.
A Christmas christening, yeah. Maybe they'll sing a carol. You know, can't go wrong with that.
Smash some eggnog against the hull.
Well, then the last shot is we cut back to Krug's ship. It's sneaking up on the Enterprise, you know, ready. But just as they're about to attack, that's when Kirk and Spock have, you know, approved the ship, and they just warp away, you know, before there's a chance to attack. Vowing to find Kirk next time, Krug stabs one of his officers, only one, out of annoyance, and then finds the decorations in the cargo bay, taking up a cup of blood wine and singing Christmas Klingon carols with a K with his crew, all in Klingon, and we're out.
We may have missed the Enterprise, but we have each other.
Exactly. Oh yeah, it's totally like emphatically Christmas carols straight, but in Klingon. So you know what they're trying to sing, but you can't understand the words at all.
There's not a Klingon word for fa-la-la-la.
Or joy, or Merry Christmas.
Well, maybe then those words would pop out like proper nouns, like when you're translating something and you get like Coca-Cola, you know. So, but no. So I thought that would be just fun having. Again, I went for it.
I'm already imagining how, if I can say shitty, the set will be that Scotty will be in as the Enterprise engine room. Will look nothing
no.
like.
Well, and remember, this is shot on TV cameras, so the quality is garbage. Yeah. Like, this is not shot on film cameras. This is shot on broadcast resolution 1986. So it does not look good at all. It's not lit right.
I'm not even sure he'll be wearing.
You can barely
like
see anything in the black and red of the Klingon ship. What was that, Philip?
I was just is he even wearing the right uniform? Like, it's something that he possibly already had in his house.
I'm trying to think, because by Star Trek IV, he was in his Star Trek IV costume, which wasn't like a uniform.
Yeah, patented white shirt, black vest.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Kirk and Spock have to show up for, you know, they're contractually obligated 1 minute of screen footage, and they'll be in the Monster Maroons, but maybe Kirk will have his Go Climb a Rock shirt on underneath it or something.
Merry Christmas. It'll say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. There you go.
Well,
just
actually.
Like, boom. Just opens it up.
Maybe it should say Happy Hanukkah. How we don't know, you know.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Totally. And at the end, it just ends with a shot on the bridge with all the cast, like Klingons, human alike, and they just look right in the camera and they go, Merry Christmas from all of us to all of you, or something like that.
I feel like when Kirk and Spock come on, like, the last thing should be like, Mr. Scott, you know you're missing something. Scotty's like, what? I fixed everything. And like, Spock has a wreath that he puts on. Now it's complete.
Wait, does he put it on something, or does he put it around the Klingon that's standing there?
Like, I don't know, whatever. Like the captain's wheel that we saw in Star Trek V.
There you go.
A wreath against it or something. I don't know.
It's like really tacky garlands are strung everywhere. Like, it looks like crap, guys.
Yeah,
it does not look good. And there's just a tree off to the side for some reason.
It's also weird that when I'm imagining this, even though you're saying we'd be watching this on TV, I'm already putting in the bad tracking to the left of the screen, is on a VCR that's already been...
You know, it cuts to commercials in really weird moments. Like, there's Kirk. I'll get him. Da da da.
And there's the Hershey Kisses Bells commercial.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. The Hershey
or the
M&M's Kisses Bells. Santa? They do exist.
That's a little bit later. That's a little bit later.
Yeah. Close enough. But yeah, no. It's like, tune in tonight for Wonder Woman and, you know.
Come into your local Toys R Us.
Yeah. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. But yeah, so I was trying to take the direction of let's take everything great and terrible about the Star Wars Holiday Special and just infuse that with Star Trek goodness. And I love you picked up on it, Philip, where it's like, yeah, sure, Star Trek IV was great, but what people really want is more of Krug yelling at his subordinates.
Didn't he die?
Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
I mean, literally imagine every scrap of footage that we could use of the ships from Star Trek III. I mean, that's the only reason we're using it, because we don't have any Klingon ship footage. Well, we have some. But,
well, I want
but that's
some
the thing.
In Scotty's like engine room, hand quotes, like, yeah. There should be, you know, there's going to be some background Starfleet. They should be wearing motion picture uniforms. Yeah. They don't care about it. Just in the background, you just see them wearing the onesies.
I would love it if they were wearing, it would feel super low budget if they were wearing, like, knockoff original series shirts and stuff.
It's like, you know what we need? We need more color. Well, let's put some of the. These are uniforms. These are Star Trek uniforms.
Clashes with everyone the, knows it's Star Trek.
Oh man, that's funny.
Well, because it's interesting with the holiday special. I mean, Lucas didn't create it. He basically gave some ideas, but a whole other team made it. So, yeah, I don't see Roddenberry making this.
I mean, he'd make money off of it, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he'd be like, you know, let's use Klingons. Everybody loves Klingons, and only let them speak Klingon-y, you know, or whatever we call the language.
Yeah, well.
But, I mean, heck, you could even combine footage from Star Trek IV, and for some reason now, Krug's Bird of Prey is flying under the Golden Gate Bridge. Doesn't make any sense.
I'm imagining so much. Like, if we had it, if this was, because it's too soon, you know, the infamous Star Trek VI, Klingon Bird of Prey shot that was reused in Generations. Like, I wanted to reuse
right.
it in this,
yeah.
but it hasn't been invented yet. So
exactly. Any shot of any Klingon Bird of Prey we have nowadays, heck, we could use a V'ger shot of the old to kick
what if it explodes in a ball of red and green light at the end or something like that?
I'm imagining, like, we're on the Enterprise A, and then, like, all the clips are of the Enterprise from, like, the motion picture, you know, the other Enterprise.
There you go. Or that could be one of the shots that they're looking at on the screen. We don't know why they're watching basically that shot from the motion picture where the whole Klingon battle sequence we watch. We got to pad out the time, guys. And we don't even know what they're talking about because it's all in Klingon. But, you know, hey, more Klingons.
And I think
so,
that, and again, I can't speak as a Star Wars fan because I'm not. I mean, I like Mandalorian, but as a Star Trek fan, to know that this is out here, and you would have to be like, this is how many things are wrong with this special.
Yeah.
Like, hey, guys, this isn't canon. Like, no, it's canon. They're Kirk and Spock is in it. It's canon. But it can't be canon, guy.
He dies. He's got to be dead by this point. That doesn't. You can't have the Enterprise A without the person who destroyed the Enterprise. That doesn't even make
sense.
How is
he looking for Genesis? It blew off at the end of Star Trek II.
No, but see, because otherwise you can't have the musical tie-in. Totally makes sense. So, yeah, so that's a Klingon Christmas circa 1986.
I'm just wondering, Back to the Future, I don't know what in real life. Is
85,
Back to the Future
1985.
Out yet? Okay, when does Back to the Future 2 come out? Can we show a trailer?
After 1985.
Yes. Yeah, after 1985.
Oh, so Christopher
Back to
Lloyd
the Future
did this just
1...
for the promotion, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he had to. He just tied it to his...
Yeah, so Back to the Future 1 was July 1985, 2 was 89.
Oh,
so it was a future.
And then,
time,
yeah. And then, but then right after was 90, because they shot 2 and 3 at the same time.
Yeah. Oh.
Anyway, yeah, I'm sure we'll find, you know, maybe Space Camp or something. We'll find something to promote.
I feel like Christopher Lloyd should be complaining about the Star Trek Holiday Special for the next 20 years. It's part of my contract.
All right. All right. Hope you're ready, Daniel. We're moving on to 2005. What do we got? We can do this.
I have plenty of ideas. And so I am struggling a little bit with where to start, but I will say in 2005, TV viewers are a bit more sophisticated than they were in the 70s and in the 80s. Not to say that there won't be, in this version, plenty of cheese and ridiculousness.
I mean, if this is on UPN, then...
Exactly. So here's the thing, right? So 2005 is the year of the last episode, or the last season of Enterprise. So
right.
I'm slotting it right before the final episode.
And oh, God.
I'm going to make it an actual love letter to fans.
Oh,
and okay. So here's what I'm going to do.
So it's right before These Are the Voyages.
Right before These Are the Voyages, right? And you know what? Whatever. We could.
Whatever.
Fiddle,
whatever.
We can
That's good.
It.
We don't.
But yeah. The point is, and I don't know if you guys remember hearing this little factoid. You probably do. It's pretty famous. That the network people were pushing for like musical acts, like people from 2005 to show up on Enterprise. Well, that's how we're going to start this episode.
That's a terrible idea.
Yeah,
you know,
that's the thing they were trying to do. They were like, let's put them in the beginning of the episode.
Is this like Penn and Teller showing up on Babylon 5? Like, is this like
wait
some
a minute.
Claw?
Penn
for...
and Teller showed up on Babylon 5? And you guys didn't have me watch that episode?
They showed up on the West Wing. Wasn't that enough for you?
Yeah, they showed up on the West Wing.
Anyways, so my idea, right, is I'm just going to start because they wanted to put boy bands in Enterprise. So our opening scene is literally NSYNC or Backstreet Boys or whatever, like singing a holiday song. It's going to be a Christmas song. And
author new Christmas album available in stores.
Yep.
No, that's how they'll promote it. They'll say, for the first time ever, together, NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys, all 10.
Super band.
Crossover super band. Honestly,
how do you go wrong?
I don't see why not. How do you go wrong? Well, you know, if 5 boy band members are great, 10 has got to be better.
So, available at your local
but
Circuit
it's
City.
It's just a setup, right? The concert is just a setup because we cut to.
Wait, where's the concert?
It's on the Enterprise.
On the Enterprise.
It's on Enterprise.
NX-01.
NX-01.
Okay.
This is right before the last episode or right around that
time. In the mess hall. Right.
I was trying to think, like, where's a big enough room to have
them, whatever.
Like,
they make them.
It's just they empty out the bay, and it's like, hopefully they don't open the bottom, and they suck
them
out
of space.
They
move the basketball court? Is that?
Oh, the basketball court. It could be.
Oh, there you
room.
Go.
Yeah, okay. So, and Archer is entertaining Saval, and...
okay.
Saval hates this, right? He thinks this is the worst thing
what?
Ever.
What? I can't believe
it's
that.
He says it's totally sent like all this Christmas stuff is super sentimental.
This is what's worst part of humanity.
He starts questioning. This is where the timeline is kind of iffy. It doesn't matter. He starts questioning whether or not he wants to, like, the Vulcans should enter into a relationship with with the...
it's like, it becomes a major diplomatic event.
There was a mistletoe incident. That's all I'll say.
So you know, he's like, this is ridiculous. These humans are not... We can't. So, basically, now it boils down to... And this is just for fun. At this point, right? Just for
this
fun.
This is great.
It boils down to... a Christmas Carol, where Q comes in. Q obviously pops up because he's the easiest way to do this. A Christmas Carol, and I haven't quite figured out how this is going to work. But the last place we visit
is Q playing Scrooge. Or is he narrating it?
He's making the world happen.
He's the one that's jumping him from place to place to place to place to place. He's the one teaching lesson.
He's all the ghosts.
Yes, yeah, okay. Yes.
Oh, so it's not actually a Christmas Carol. It's our characters. In a Christmas Carol type story, fueled by Q.
So we're gonna jump.
Are you saying Saval is Scrooge?
No. So we're gonna jump with Saval and Archer together as buds.
So, okay.
From
okay.
time
Wait,
period to
can
time.
Can Saval appear only as a hologram that only Archer can see and hear?
And
okay, so they're the POV through the whole story.
Think Saval and Archer are going at it, and like, hey, well, you know, Saval's like, this is a terrible idea. I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
And then Q appears, and he's like, oh, you guys are having...
So Q's like the ghost, and he's dragging them along through Christmas,
like
past,
I want
future,
John
whatever.
To look like whatever he looked like at the time. You
know,
beard, 2005 mustache,
is Yeah, whatever.
He's not gonna, because he hasn't appeared as Q in like however many years since Voyager. Yeah. So,
but the important part is where it ends. It ends in First Contact. That's where it ends. So we will end because First Contact is our life day, right? So we
You're right.
Anchor the episode in Christmas in real time as told from the episode,
and not many people know. Well, it's April. Never mind.
That's right. Yeah.
That's true. First Contact was in the maybe in the future they celebrate Christmas in April.
That's right. Christmas in 2063 April.
But this is where the fun comes in, right? I'm thinking and you don't have to we don't have to limit it to 3 like Christmas past, future and present.
Right. Past, present,
we
future.
We can do but I'm thinking like there's got to be a Janeway Tuvok scene because of course, right? This is where you get everybody this is where you get everybody involved.
Oh, right.
I like doing it in reverse order. It could be future, present, past, because your past will be.
You could, but I couldn't find like unique categories because.
You're right. You're going to cover everything. Yeah, go ahead.
But I was thinking there's got to be a Janeway Tuvok scene.
Okay, because Vulcans.
It's all going to be. That's the whole theme. Is Vulcans and humans?
Right.
So there's going to be.
So it's a very Vulcan Christmas.
Yes. So we need Kirk and Spock.
We would need Kirk and Spock at some point. I would love to do a Cisco like slightly racist towards his Vulcan buddy, Vulcan
the baseball
player.
The baseball episode.
I don't know how it fit. Maybe that'd be animated because like we wouldn't. I don't know. But I'd love to just fit them in there somehow as well.
Avery Brooks is not going to agree to this. So he's going to have to.
He's under contract.
No. He's always just out of frame. Or they literally just play that episode, that part of the episode.
They could literally. And this is the best part.
A clip episode.
If you're looking for cheap production stuff, you could film the two, Saval and Archer, just in like random stands.
Is this literally a clip show?
It could be.
Let me look into your future, like on the USS Voyager. And then it literally just is like a last time on Star Trek Voyager worth snippet of like Janeway and Tuvok in some episode.
You could do that. And if you wanted to like like low production value it, you could easily just stick them in the background and like Q sitting there to like, so look at that, you know, look. And then of course it.
He's on one of the, he's like in an old timey chair with like an actual oldie TV behind him and he's like changing the channel.
Now my question is, when Q appears first, does he appear in his Voyager uniform and snap his fingers and now he's in an Enterprise jumper?
That would be cool.
So, like, after Voyager, he came here and had some more fun, basically?
Yeah.
Well, like, because Q always appears in a Starfleet uniform, so he always has to...
Right.
He
appeared last, and then he updates himself.
Yeah. So he's in that Voyager uniform, and then he's going to be, like, Enterprise blue.
Nice.
Ew.
So, okay, so, yeah, so we have Janeway Tuvok, Kirk, Spock, Sisko, and the Vulcan baseball team.
Featuring the Vulcan baseball team.
Well, we have... would we have something with like T'Pol and Archer?
Jolene did not agree to this. So we had to get
she wanted the week off.
Okay.
So
yeah. After that tearful scene between your
but then I love the idea of we get back to First Contact and you know we could use as much footage from the movie as we want.
I think
you definitely could get James.
Oh, you
Cromwell.
Could totally get James Cromwell.
You've done it once. Yeah. You know. He knows everybody, so he's cool to come back. But that'd be super fun. And then you could even tie it really into Enterprise by like having Papa Archer there, and like they could have a moment. Oh. You know what I mean? Like they always do, like kind
Henry.
Of like a an endgame moment between Tony and his father. They could definitely do that sort of a thing.
Well, and you know, I mean, I know it's like literally a locked off, like. Tight shot and clever editing, but like we did have that moment in Inner Mirror Darkly where it opens up on First Contact Day, just utilizing tons of footage from the movie, you know, and like a close up of a guy with a gun. And it's totally, we recreated the whole set. No, I mean, they didn't, but they made it work.
Yeah, because I'm imagining you can have the conflict or the story is, you know,
Archer and Serval.
We have Serval being like, I'm not comfortable joining with a race that believes in a mythical being that delivers gifts. But then I think when you go to the Henry scene, there could be a scene where like, which I mean, Archer knows this, but he sees Serval being really crappy towards Henry Archer, And so Archer has this kind of moment of like, well, I don't know if I want to be in a federation with you because you're a jerkwad, you know, to my dad. And so then it's sort of on the other side where, you know, they sort
That's true, because there's the animosity for he yeah. could have, like, when he's saying, like, you held back and it took us longer to get into space because of that, 100 years.
And so Archer's kind of like, you don't want to be with us. Well, we're doing all the, you know, great things. You know, what are you bringing to the table?
And then Q is trying to show them that their alliance will bear fruit. And that's where he's showing all this future stuff with, like, Janeway and Tuvok and maybe not Tuvix. Like, we don't want to go there.
That's awkward.
Yeah. He's only half Vulcan.
Like, look at these Vulcans enjoying Earth baseball, and Saval is just like shocked.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's a really good idea, Philip. I like that they're both being brought on this journey, so they're both learning a lesson, and it's like basically just, you know, we're better together than we are alone. Our parts are the sum of our parts are more than we are separately, and it's like it works really well. But it would
I also want Archer to have. Because I'm trying to remember the baseball timeline of when it became unpopular. Like, Archer doesn't know what baseball is. I mean, he knows what it is, but like he doesn't know. That's funny. Is this just land polo? Like, what is this?
land polo. Now, I want a scene at the very end where Saval is like almost beat for beat, like, oh, the Federation dedication is tomorrow. I didn't miss it. You did it all in one night, Q.
You crewman. What day is it?
what star date is it? 23.6. 23.6. I didn't miss it. I do believe in the Federation. I do.
I never did a man celebrate the Federation anymore in his heart. And as for Commander Tripp, who did not die.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And he's like, what now?
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. There'd have to be a wink and a nod of Q saying something to Tripp because he knows. Yeah. Like, we don't know as the audience because that episode hasn't aired yet. All right. So, Philip, now we are in 2020. This year, you got Discovery, Picard, Lower Decks. You got 3 JJ movies. What do you got? Where are we airing it? How are we doing this?
Sure.
I'm excited.
So what I wrote, and I'm afraid I got a little serious about it, so you guys will have to insert the funny here. Because I was kind of like, okay, so it's going to be Zoom, so I'm like, okay, well, why would this happen? And I was like, well, what if this is like a charity special? Because, you know, there's all these things going on with like staged readings and read-alongs, and it's all for charity. So I was like, okay, well, this is going to be a charity special then. So the official name is Star Trek Zoom into Charity. TM, copyright. You guys will have to tell me whether this is on CBS All Access or on CBS, because I feel like if it's for charity, it should be on CBS, because that way more people come in.
You must pay to watch our charity special.
Because then I thought, because you're going to be teasing all your properties, so you're going to try to bring people in. So it's basically it's a commercial.
Well, it's just like they aired the first episode of Discovery on Network,
and then the whole season
the rest was behind a paywall.
Yeah. So anyway, so this is on Zoom, and so it's a charity special. So I'm like, well, who do I want to host this? Which, there's a plethora of things. So I figured, like, well, looking at all the shows, not that it's difficult, but I feel like the most difficult stars to shine is going to be from Star Trek Lower Decks. So they're going to be my co-hosts. So I picked, and not because I have a crush on her, I'm a professional, that's not why I would choose her, Tawny Newsome and Jack Quaid are going to be our co-hosts for this Star Trek charity.
So Mariner and Boimler.
Yeah. But the actual people.
Yeah, the actual people. Yeah. But it starts, so like the special starts with a short animated clip of Lower Decks between those two. Like, it's just like some 3-minute ridiculous scene. And then it ends, and so
do they become like self-aware and they're like starting to talk to
they
the camera
into
and
human
then
beings.
Like and they energize and they beam out into reality and they're wearing full-on costumes
uniforms,
and they're like,
yeah. I would love that.
Yeah.
Because they just have to wear the top. You can't see anything else.
There you go. Oh, yeah. It's all zoomed. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you can make a point of, like, I'm wearing pajama pants. You know, all the corny jokes. But anyways, but it's actually Tawny and Jack. And they're like, oh, you know. So they make it funny. But they're just going to be, like, the co-host for this kind of Zoom special. So, like I said, they start off with a cartoon. And so I came up with these are my featured musical guests and my featured special appearances here. So let me cue it up. So they're going to appear. They're going to say, like, hey, You know, so welcome to our special. You're going to see featured music performances by Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, Louis Capaldi, The Weeknd, Lizzo, BTS, and Maroon 5. We're going to have special appearances by Ben Stiller, Stacey Abrams, Rosaria Dawson, Seth MacFarlane, Colonel Chris Hatfield,
of course,
and Seth Neil MacFarlane. DeGrasse Tyson. And then you'll have some other familiar faces from the Star Trek universe. So that's how they're going to pitch it, or get the ball rolling.
Okay, so all these people had nothing better to do.
Well, it's Zoom.
Zoom. It's COVID. Yeah,
that's
everybody,
true. That's true.
Nobody's wearing pants. It's just everybody.
So we're going to see Seth MacFarlane's bookshelf behind him in his living room.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay.
And so this is going to be for charity. Now, I picked a real one. I Googled, what's a Star Trek charity? And so I picked one, and I gave them money so that way I can talk about them right now for, you know, make fun of them. but so International Rescue Committee. It's a real charity. I'll briefly talk about it in a second here. But that's a Patrick Stewart-supported charity. So I figured that's how you could have a recorded video from Sir Patrick Stewart.
Nice.
Talk about this
that's exactly what they would do.
Yeah. So I'll briefly – I gave $50, so it doesn't matter. All right. So International Rescue Committee, briefly, it responds to the world's worst humanitarian crisis and help people whose lives and livelihoods are shattered by conflict and disaster to survive, recover, and gain control of their future. In more than 40 countries and over 20 U.S. cities, our dedicated teams provide clean water, shelter, healthcare, education, empowerment, support to refugees and displaced people. So obviously they're doing a lot for COVID. So anyway – but I figured that's the charity. Sir Patrick Stewart supports it. He'll make a video about it. So we got our Sir Patrick Stewart. Click, Picard, done. Okay. So so this is my plan. And so this is where y'all can kind of come in here. So the plan is to have a series of either skits or staged readings with some selected actors from each of the series. And I'll tell you who you have to work with. Because I figured they're gettable. So basically you'll have Tawny and Jack doing the whole thing. But like they'll say, like, and now we'll hear from, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson or whoever.
Right.
And they'll talk about, you know, this is why I love Star Trek and what it means to
me. They're almost more sports commentators than anything.
Yeah.
Like
the color commentary.
Tossing it off to other things.
Yeah. It's like a parade or something. So the special appearance celebrities.
Look at that float go by. It takes 10,000 flowers.
And then.
Are those chrysanthemums? Yes.
The Rose Parade. Only Californian. And so, you know, they'll talk about what Star Trek means to them. What charity, whatever, Christmas, blah, holidays, blah, blah, family, it's COVID, man, times are tough. Not to belittle anything, but, you know, we've all heard it. So anyway, and then they'll introduce the musical performer. It's like SNL. And then the pre-recorded musical performer.
So you get to hear from your favorite cast and crew, and then they toss it to, like, a musical number or something.
Right. And so that'll be kind of the pace. But then we'll have special appearances by the Star Trek folks that will be in between each of those things. So it's like Tawny and Jack, celebrity, musical, Star Trek part, you know, da, da, da. And so these are the Star Trek parts. This is where y'all come in, because I didn't want to make it, but I'm only going to limit you to who you have. So for my first, and basically, by the way, it's for charity, but this is all one big commercial. Okay, so what we have coming up.
It feels like a big commercial, which is good.
Yeah. So from Star Trek Picard, this is who you have to work with. Allison Pitt, Santiago Cabrera, and Michelle Hurd.
Okay, you're going to have to give me their character
that
names.
Okay,
So Michelle Hurd, go ahead.
Death Lady,
Death Lady, the hologram dude, and I forgot the last person.
Yeah, the captain.
Oh, Rios.
Yep. Yeah, Rios. Yeah. You have Michelle Hurd, of course. You know who's the substance abuse Picard first officer, and then you have Allison Pitt is the cyberneticist,
Murder Lady.
Yeah,
Murder Lady. Yeah. Got it. Yeah,
so that's what you have to work with. So are they doing? Because this, you know, this is again, this is Zoom. They're not. They can't do a production value, but they could either do a scene, like an actual scene from Picard, or they can do a skit, or I don't know. What would you have them do? But those are the three people you have to work with.
Could everybody be in their uniform? Like Paramount shipped them their costume,
sure.
And they like have to wear it, so it feels even more kind of out of place.
Yeah,
because
their
like,
hair's going to be
literally
normal
just setting.
So it'll be
They don't have makeup. They don't have any of that. They just had to
put Santiago. You know, that's good.
I was going to say it's going to be that really cheesy, like, we're pretending to be our characters talking to each other over screen, and, like, it's also going to fit into this.
Oh, man, that's even worse.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't want to go that far.
Because Santiago, you know, he doesn't talk like that. He's from wherever he's from, not America. And so, you know, Rios, he's going to have to talk as Rios for this part. But
you could do something where maybe they record two bits, like one in uniform and one without, and they literally talk to their own characters, mm-hmm. like with a split screen kind of thing.
Well, we know that Rios has experience with that, but not everybody does.
That could be funny. He could be one of the holograms for this purposes of this. Like, it doesn't have to be Rios.
That's true. He could be everyone's third favorite hologram.
Like, new ones that we would never actually see on the show.
He's Rios.
Like Christmas Rios. Just, like he could
Christmas
be,
Rios.
Holiday Rios. He could be wearing like every holiday.
He's got to have like a sweater. Like the worst Star Trek sweater ever. There you go.
That'd be fun.
For my next one, for Star Trek Discovery, I only gave you two. Sonequa Martin-Green and Wilson Cruz.
Okay.
Now, a lot of the reason I'm choosing these is because, like, a lot of the political and charity stuff for Star Trek, these are the people who have shown up. So that's why I picked these people.
That's true. Yeah. I totally buy that these would be the people that we would get.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they support charity. So this is a good thing.
Well, and, yeah, I mean, they'll talk about the show a bit. They'll talk about the charity. They'll talk about what they're up to.
So maybe
favorite episodes or...
What Michael Culber scene could they do or make of?
Oh, that's true.
It has to be about Michael, though.
The only one I can think of is the one from Security Lady's last episode. Like, that's the only one where I can think where they're adversarial at each other. And, Commander Nahn's episode, where he's talking, he's, like, trying to convince, he's like, I can't do this.
Oh,
I'm a medical doctor. I have a complete expertise in this situation, but only you can do it. And that's all I can think of.
Oh, yeah, so they could, like, table read it or something? Yeah. That could work. I thought there was another scene where, like, when Michael first gets picked back up by the Discovery and she's been gone a year and he kind of is, like, making sure she's okay. Don't they have, like, a little bit of dialogue then?
Maybe.
I like the idea more of, like them doing something we wouldn't see in the show. Even as their characters, that would be fun. But, like,
they could be taking fan questions if you want.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, taking fan questions from Twitter. That is totally something that we would do in 2020. Yeah. Or you could have them, if they're Trekkies, you could have them talking about like their favorite episodes of Star Trek in whole.
If they were taking live fan questions from Twitter, I would ask them, where's the engine room on the USS Discovery?
How do the nacelles work when they're detached?
I don't know where.
Where's
but
the
it's
schematics?
Nice.
But no, I think that would work well. I like those two, their personalities.
Yeah. All right. And then for your asking, well, Philip, you're doing all the Kurtzman. Where's the JJ? So we are. We're going to have a Kelvin verse.
That's exactly what I was asking.
So I had to figure out who would be gettable. And then, you know, it's Flexi. But I figured these are guys or people. They're not all guys. People that are fun. I mean, not that I'm saying the people I haven't included aren't fun. But that I think have good personality. So Zachary Quinn, Zoe Saldana, and Simon Pegg. And what I'm giving you for Simon Pegg is he can talk to an off-screen Kienzner. Like, you know what? I think with Simon Pegg, he probably – I don't know this for a fact. He probably has a TOS uniform, like a 60s TNS uniform he could be wearing.
He does, for sure.
Also, I was just checking. I'm pretty sure it's Zachary Quinto.
Quinto, yeah.
I don't think his name is Quinn, but yeah.
Yeah, Quinto.
But yeah, no, I could totally see those three. I mean, Simon Pegg will just talk about writing the whole time.
He'll make good jokes. He will make
good jokes, yeah. And yeah, I would totally see him being like, hey guys, I'm just going to pretend Kienzner off screen, so roll with it. And he just starts.
Get off that!
Yeah, stop! Get off that!
We're in lockdown. Put on your mask, you silly.
Don't eat all the cookies. Those are for Santa. You eat like a bean. And you're full.
And then meanwhile, he's eating the cookies like in front of him.
Yeah, and then he eats them. Well, and then Zachary and Zoe could do like one of their turbolift scenes or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll be watching your signal or something like that.
We could talk about Simon could kind of be for this segment. Simon could be the host between the two, and they could either do a quiz off where he asks them questions about the Kelvin Universe movies. And I figure out which one's right.
Star date did the USS Kelvin sacrifice itself to the...
Can I suggest something a little off the wall for you, Philip? And,
please.
And you can shoot it down if you think it's a terrible idea. I would love, since if you're going to do both, have the different versions interact together. You could have Anson Mount and Bruce, I can't remember his name, the other guy who played Pike in the Kelvin universe. Uh-huh. They could talk together.
Oh, yeah.
Have the two Spocks.
Have a Pike off.
Pike off.
Like you have Pike and Spock on one side, then Pike and Spock
Ethan,
on the other.
Ethan and Zachary.
Yep. And you could, have just like do a trivia, a Trek trivia off between the actual actors, and like that would be fun, something like that.
You could show that ad which has Leonard Nimoy and Zachary Quinto racing their cars somewhere. Mm-hmm. I like the two Pikes, the two.
Yeah, and I think we could talk, because both with Zoe doing Nichelle's part, what that means, and then Zach doing Leonard's part, what that means. Those are both sort of legacy characters that are a little heavy,
Yeah.
No, I like that. I like the two Spocks. That's smart, because there's a few characters from Strange.
I like
Discovery
that.
Discovery.
They could be sort of a
Strange
surprise. Like that could be the three, and then the surprise guest during that segment is Ethan Peck.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, there
you
go.
One comes
yeah,
on. Hey, exactly. I played Spock, and then the other guy comes on. I also played Spock, or some
little real Spock. Yeah. Please, then.
They're like fascinating. Yeah, I like the Spock off. Yeah.
Now the only reason I paused on the Anson, we can still do, but the last segment, because again, commercial charity and commercial,
lots of commercials.
Is
well, so many commercials.
This will give the first teaser of Star Trek Strange New Worlds. Now, it's not going to be a real
teaser.
That's why
you would tune in.
It's not
going to
be a real
teaser.
What it is at the end, you're going to go to Anson Mount and Rebecca...
Romaine.
Romaine. I don't know. Sorry, Nelson. Romaine. Okay. Rebecca Romaine and Anson Mount, who were, probably on the set of Strange New Worlds.
Hey, guys, we're busy filming
exactly
Strange New Worlds.
And they're just going to give, they'll get, 3 minutes to basically tease, which they won't say anything without, they'll say a lot.
So are they literally just walking around the sets, but they're all the sets we saw in Discovery anyway, so it's literally nothing new.
And if you give $5, you'll win a chance to come on set and visit us.
Now, it wasn't this charity. There was another charity that was doing a season.
No, we'll name a character after you.
That was doing a season 2 Picard walk-on, and I can't remember what charity that was. But anyway, it was when I was Googling this.
Oh, yeah.
Omaze did a lot of that stuff.
I vaguely remember that.
A lot of the, come visit us sort of thing, but...
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's mine. A little serious, sorry. But that was, serious times, so it's hard to make too funny. But, that was my holiday special for 2020.
It's three totally different ways to do it, but I love all three in different ways. Like, one's, bat crazy and just...
One's a clip
look
show.
Back on it. One's a clip show that's like, hey, we're on our way out. We're canceled. We know it. I guess we got to make this.
Which I like. That's why the rest of the Enterprise actors aren't showing up. It's like, F y'all. Fire.
Right, that's the thing.
Why
you never have... It's never the full main cast. Like, that's too good. We're too good for that.
Which Bacula, sorry, is a professional.
Chewbacula?
He's going to keep working, so he'll show up.
Yes, Chewbacula and his Wookiee family on Ear Earth. But, these are always fun when we talk about just off-the-wall things. Like, there's always lots of laughs, and we start each other going. We're like, oh, but what about this? Or, what if Spock was singing with the other Spock? And
he does play lute.
Playing the harp.
He plays lute.
Yeah, playing the harp. Yeah.
The lyre.
Oh, lyre.
Oh,
that's
lyre.
What it is.
That's right. Yep. That's what it is. It's like part lute, part harp, part lyre. No.
All logic.
Are you saying he's a liar? Yeah. No. At the end, it's like, how do you feel? And he's like, I feel I feel jolly. But it's like, there's like no Christmas. It's like barely any Christmas and anything. It's just
about is the word jolly in Klingon or Vulcan? Because that's going to cause problems.
See, and real quick, before we keep close out here, I was briefly considering meeting Santa. Like, how would that, in Star Trek, because, we did...
Just like, you meet Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, yeah. We met God.
Why not meet Santa?
Who can't you meet in the Star Trek universe? I'd love to the stupid Santa.
Ferengi, our Alila 51 aliens. It all makes sense.
It was a robot, but the rabbit from Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
We met that, so...
Really, Quark could learn a lesson from Santa. Like, that could be a good episode of just,
Quark, it's all like the Grinch. Grinch Who Stole Christmas, and it's like maybe joy doesn't come from the store,
right? I mean, it would be.
I would like the Grinch
because we do Christmas Carol Forever, which is a good story. There's a reason why, but we've not done Grinch as a repeated. I would love Clark as the Grinch.
Oh man, Clark as a Grinch.
But all the Bajorans would be the, you know,
the Who's
in Bajorville.
Bajorville.
You're gonna have a little Bajoran Mary Sue or whatever her name is, you know.
Not Mary Sue, Cindy Lou Who. Mary Sue.
What do you want from me?
Mary
Rom is the dog, I assume. Whatever.
Rom is Max. Yeah.
Put antlers on
him. He would put antlers on him for the. Yeah. He definitely would. There's no doubt about it. Yeah.
It's in your employee contract. Shut up.
And he's really. Yeah. So he's going to sneak around the entire station stealing everyone's presents because he. And he's going to sell them back to them at 50% markup.
See, the problem with that journey for Quark is you can't. If he had that whole journey,
he's not actually going to learn a lesson.
He can't change that much. He would totally be a different character. So, like, you would have to
no. Oh,
he wakes up at the end. Solve that, Daniel. Dream. It's
yes,
a nightmare.
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
that's the way you solve it. He wakes up at the end.
That's why you can have cartoonish elements in the episode.
And he's like, "Oh, Rom, I had a terrible dream where I turned good and did, you know, gave presents away for free. Get me. Yeah, it's
like, charge that person extra for his stuff."
At the end, he grabs like two bars and he's like smacking them together, like the sound.
So
of
it comes to the bar and orders eggnog, and he sort of just punches him or something.
That's good. It's insidious. I like that. That's fun.
Yeah, see, that was a good point. That's what I was thinking, too. Like, yeah, he can't change, but if it's all a dream, then... And then the prophets are all like, "This was to teach you a lesson, Quark." He's like, Nope,
I'm out, yeah.
Yeah, there should be, like, it's very tropish, like, at the end, like, he's at the bar, and there should be, like, some item that was central to the episode that is on the bar, and he's like, "Nah." You know what I mean? For a second, you're like, "Maybe he's good," and he's like, No.
So this would be like the, you know, what was it, like 1996
the Ferengi
version
stole,
where it's all like holiday. DS9
yeah.
Held our joy.
So the Ferengi who stole
Spring Ball.
The gratitude.
Oh,
isn't that what it's called?
It's so long. I can't.
Yeah,
you need a shorter festival name.
Yeah.
Maybe the Ferengi who stole Bajor or something.
That's fun. I like that idea.
Rom as Max the dog. I don't think we'll get any better than that.
Yeah, I can see the sleigh coming down the promenade.
It's the runabout. He's shoving all the gifts in the runabout, as many as possible. So we cut to the runabout set, and it's like packed. Not even the Defiant. Defiant's too big. It's way more funny if it's the runabout.
Because I like Rom is the pilot, and he still has the antler on. He's just piloting.
Brother, where are we going with all these presents?
I could totally see Quark cutting.
Are we taking them to the Celestial Temple?
He's just going to take it to the wormhole, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to sell it to the Gamma Quadrant.
He's going
to
sell them in the Gamma Quadrant. Oh. We have to either give him a new name.
He's franchising the holiday to.
Oh, man. One
of them. Yeah, a sell to the prophets or to the.
I am grateful. Grateful they're giving me all their money.
Yeah. Look, Christmas comes once a year. Or Festival of Life comes
they're
once
all
a
Federation.
Year.
Money doesn't mean anything to them.
But yeah, and then it's all a dream, and he wakes up.
Everyone knows Bajorans just don't want to have material things and spiritual enlightenment. I'm helping them.
Or even worse, instead of him learning the lesson, like the wormhole aliens. Or the prophets like intercept him, like they did that fleet.
Yeah, Gemini.
And so he's got the in the white room scene. They're trying to teach him, but he just doesn't get it. So they take all the presents away, and he comes out the other end with nothing. He's like, "What? This is terrible." And he wakes up.
I'm just like seeing the scene with like him grabbing Rom. They sing without. They sing without. They sing without.
Oh man.
Okay, yeah, that's the one time we use a main character for full fruition.
Armin's up for it.
Because everybody
loves
Quark.
He would love to
Quark.
Do it. Yeah, I'm sure it'd be fun.
Oh, he'd chew that scenery up so bad. Yeah.
Who would be the Cindy Lou Who character?
Some Bajoran little girl. Who knows?
I mean, yeah, you could make somebody new, I guess, but you would think there'd be someone you could use.
We don't have, I mean, Naomi Wildman? I don't know.
Just stick a different nose on her and, you know.
You can have, Nog.
Is Nog Cindy
Lee? No.
It doesn't exactly.
I don't know if we want to go that route.
Yeah, it doesn't fit. Yeah. So.
Doesn't fit. I think it's just more fun where it's just Quark and Rom, like Max and the Grinch, just going after it. Because again, he doesn't.
Yeah, but there has to be someone there to try to teach him a lesson, and then he just
a mature little girl.
Yeah, you could do just
a little. That's true.
Well, you could have
introducing. You know, Scarlett Palmer's.
Whoever is famous now, who is about like 12.
There you go.
At this year, you know, in time, that's who you can have. You know, I don't know.
Oh, that'd be funny. Yeah, there's not a lot of little girl actors in Star Trek to draw from.
I mean, really. Outside of like Kirsten Dunst or something.
I mean, even then, she.
Are we going with Molly? I mean, that's
well, Molly. Molly would be perfect. Actually,
yeah.
She's sweet and
adorable
and little and tiny and you would absolutely
Mr. Quark.
Yeah,
are you Mr. taking Quark. Our?
Are you taking our replicator?
I'm going to fix it. And my daddy's an engineer. I meant
He sneaks into Orion's quarters to take his stuff.
And he's like, you can fix it better than my daddy, the chief engineer of the entire station.
I'm going to make it better.
Oh,
yeah. And his fib fooled the child.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh,
okay.
Stealing the replicator from the O'Briens.
Like, because, you know, Quark is just an
echo. Because he's trying to literally rip it out of the wall, which is, like, the most impractical thing. It's basically like stealing the wall.
That's silly.
And then him just shoving things into the runabout. And more and more. Like, I would pay for them to have an extra set, like, model. Where instead of the back windows being blacked out, you just see them jam-packed
CGI
with junk. Yeah. Like, there's just so much stuff. Like, Matt painted out or something. Yeah.
There you go.
And I'm just, I'm going through the big rolly door. It closes, but there's, like, almost no room on the other side.
And yeah, they open it up, and then everything falls.
Everything falls out.
Oh, man.
And, I mean, if we wanted to... Last thing is, like, if we wanted to go the full route where, like, he does go good for a moment, he's beaming him back. That's the return. And so he's just activating. He's like, computer, I've changed.
Yeah, Molly's, like, sleeping on the floor of her quarters where the and tree every... was, and then that beams in.
No. It's even, up. It's like, but the, like, half of the bulkhead with the replicator appears, and then it kind of, like, clunk against the wall because it doesn't put it back. It just gets it in the room.
That's what you're saying. It's not installed.
Like, it's like, close enough, you know, and she's like, yay! You know, don't have to eat.
And then you just have, like,
cooking.
Miles in his pajama, you know, going, what the
stocking
hell?
Cap. It's like long pajama, stocking cap era. Yeah. But, yeah, and then it's all a dream because we can't... Quark can't change.
Yeah. Odo cameo at the end.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go.
We do an artificial twinkle in the eye or something. Special effect for Odo.
He turns into a reindeer. For whatever reason. It just happens. I don't know.
Or he's holding...
Are you saying Santa's
like a
changeling?
Snow globe. He's like holding a snow globe with the station in it. And it's like instead of the stars, it's like a full zoom out. Like as you're pulling out of the station. And instead of stars, it's snow. I don't know why it'd be Odo. It could be anyone holding it. But I don't...
It'd be Santa.
Oh, no.
It's Santa.
Yep.
It's Santa. Santa... Holding a snow globe.
Except he has a Bajoran nose.
That's the station.
Pack Lex
Santa. Bajoran Santa. DS9. Oh, that was hilarious.
There you go. Extra bonus.
And so terrible. But bonus, yeah. The Quark that stole Bajor. But, all right. Well, 200 episodes. It's been a lot of fun. It's been fun covering new Trek. You know, our discussing all sorts of fun things, deep diving into Trek culture and what's going on. There's more on the way. We'll keep covering the rest of Star Trek Discovery, and obviously we have new shows coming. But it'd be nice to get to a little break where we can go back into our rotations of topics in the new year. But
he was the Guardian forever, guys.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay,
sorry. Go ahead.
No, yeah, that's like we predicted, but or some of us predicted, but yeah, we'll pick that up next week. But no, it's been a good 200 episodes so far. I think we're still going strong. Lots more to talk about, but it's been a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to next year. So, any closing thoughts on this year, Philip?
I'll let my Zoom special speak for me.
All right. Well, if any special thoughts, Daniel?
To 200 more.
Oh man,
200 more. There you go.
You're gonna say that.
I did. I tried to look up like, oh, you know how they make cakes for like, you know, 100 episodes, yep. 200 episodes, and I'm like, I found a Voyager one, but it was only for 100. Because I'm like, oh, that's right, Darren. Duh, no Star Trek show made it to 200 episodes, so I did a little Photoshop.
And they never will.
They never will. Yeah, no, not with
these
season.
Collectively, maybe, but no. It's just a number in a way, but it's also a fun time to celebrate. Well, Philip, if someone wanted to find you online and give you a trunk full of money to do that holiday special, where would they find you?
Well, they can support their local charity and then tweet me whatever that is at NC Public Servant on Twitter.
And Daniel, if someone wanted to, or if Armin wanted to contact you so he could become the Grinch, as he maybe a little green Ferengi. Oh, that would look terrible. That'd be look absolutely terrible. Where would they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at @oneofthan. That's the number one, not the word, as in that would be the number of times Quark's heart would grow. Just one. Just the same.
Like as a
too small,
tri-quarter scan,
slightly less
of
too
the
small,
heart, and it's just
Dr. Bashir is like scanning him. He's like, it's incredible.
Quark, yo,
let's get Quark. We got to get you to surgery. Your heart is growing at an alarming rate. Because you know, kids, that's not supposed to happen.
Yeah, no. That's bad.
That's very bad. And if someone wanted to find me and ask me, of all the Klingons, why Krug? They can find me on... they all start with a K, almost, Philip. Many, many of them do. They can find me on Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi. Well, from City Alpha 3, I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
Stranded here, and have a Merry Christmas.